Thank you for choosing the podcast of East Haven Baptist Church in Brookhaven, Mississippi. For more information on the ministries of East Haven and to access videos and sermon notes from our services, visit www.easthaven.net.
So good to see you this morning. So many smiling faces, and yes, we're certainly glad that you're here. This morning, as we continue our series in 1 and 2 Samuel, and we look at different characters in the Bible and those particular books of the Old Testament, today we land on friends, close friends, Jonathan and David. I enjoy talking about friendships, especially close Christian friendships. We have acquaintances in life. We have colleagues, business partners. We have people that attend our small group, Sunday school class, or some amount of conference we've been to. We've met them, and they're at a level of friendship. And then we have friends, and it's like, well, they're my friend. You kind of pick back up and talk about things. And then you've got Christian friends. You've got that level. And then you have those close Christian friends that you think, man, I can't imagine doing life without this particular person. Some of you right now are listing that friend or thinking about those friendships. I remember when I was growing up, my dad and Sunday school teachers would say, listen, Hal, if you have five close friends, you are a blessed fella. And I used to think, well, I think I got a lot of friends. And then you get older and you walk through seasons of life and you realize exactly what they were talking about. I'm going to share several quotes about friendships, but here's one of my favorites. Remember that the most valuable antiques are dear old friends. I've lived long enough to have a few antiques in my life. I'm going to mention a few of them, not all of them, but I feel like I've just been blessed over the years to have some really close buds. One of those is Dr. Jim Turcotte. He works for MC, and we were graduated from high school together. When we were in high school, we went to different churches, played different sports, and we didn't really know each other because I was only there. He was there his whole life. I was only there for the last 2 years of high school. But we found out that we were both going to Mississippi College, and we decided to room together. And do you know that we made it all 4 years as roommates? And that's not necessarily typical, but we made it. We're alike, but yet we're really not alike. And so that, for us, worked out good. We had some of the same values and similar upbringings. He had all sisters. I had all sisters. And so there were some similarities, and we had our discussions of things to work through, as well as fun times and celebration times. And to this day, we're buds. He and his wife, Jenny, came this past Friday, and they came to Brookhaven, and we showed them the sights, and we had dinner, and we came back and had dessert. And here's some things that you can do with these types of friends. There was laughter. There were a few tears. There was a time of sharing indirect prayer requests that we could keep in mind. There was talk about the past, the present, and the future. And we were able to be vulnerable with each other. We didn't have to second guess. Well, should I say this in front of these people? Not that you're going south and telling something terrible, but you're just thinking, you can't say everything, because some things are to be kept in confidence, or certain prayer requests, with everybody. And the older we get, the more we realize that. So today, I want you to turn to 1 Samuel 18 if you hadn't already. We're going to look at verses 1 through 4. It's on the screen. I'll be reading out of the NIV this morning, chapter 18 of 1 Samuel, verses 1 through 4. I will be referencing some other passages about these individuals as we go through the message. If you're a note taker, you have your listening sheet, you can make notes or a mental note. Close Christian friendships. After David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. From that day, Saul kept David with him and did not let him return home to his family. And Jonathan, who was King Saul's son, made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Verse 4, Jonathan took off the robe he was wearing, and he gave it to David along with his tunic, even his sword, his bow, and his belt. Now, as we look at the kind of friend that we want to be, and hopefully God has provided that close kind of friend, and just because we've been close for years doesn't mean it's going to always be that way. We have to nurture that kind of friendship. And if you're here today and this is foreign to you, like I'm not even sure what you're talking about, or even if I had that kind of friend, please listen closely. Because some of the greatest gifts in our life is to have this type of friend. And the older we get, we never know if that friend, close Christian friend, might beat us to heaven. So it might be good to cultivate two or three or four. Usually it may not be a handful, but hey, it may happen to your life and to my life. What's the first thing? Number one, close Christian friendships are united on matters that matter. You see that from verses 1 and 2. The bond between them is translation of a phrase in the original language, Hebrew, in the Old Testament that means their lives were tied together. It reminds me of Ecclesiastes 4:12 that says a strand of three cannot be easily broken, that God keeps them together. The ESV, or English Standard Version, which some of you may have, says the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. What does that mean? Their lives were tied together in genuine friendship, which, according to the Bible, involves fidelity, commitment, sacrifice, cooperation, and emotional attachment. There was nothing odd about their friendship. It was an example of true biblical friendship. Don't let the world color your opinion or thought about this relationship with Jonathan and David. The only rainbow involved with them was the one in the Bible, which had to do with a covenant relationship that involved God in the midst of those three strands. It was thoroughly biblical. Besides, we know that we can't believe everything we hear on the television. You do know that, right? Our social media, we have to filter it through truth. And God's word is truth. And His Holy Spirit helps us know of truth. A principle of friendships that connect due to matters that matter is also found in Amos chapter 3 in the Old Testament, verse 3. Listen to this. Can two walk together except they be agreed? It's kind of like when couples come and they say, we want to talk to you about getting married. One of the things that is so important that I find out is, are you a believer? The Bible says you're to be equally yoked. And so that's extremely important. You've got to have that firm foundation. Same thing with valuable, close, biblical, Christian friendships. A friend is one who you can be yourself with and never fear that he or she will judge you. Not genuine judgment. And they may think, well, that guy's a little, you know, that's a little out there, Hal, or I can't believe you said, you know. But I'm talking about true judging, not a true Christian friend. A friend is someone that you can confide in with complete trust. A friend is someone you respect and that respects you, not based on worthiness, but based upon a likeness of mind. That kind of friend gives you grace from time to time, because none of us are going to operate on all cylinders all the time. None of us are perfect. We're imperfect. We have flaws. We have moments. What mattered most for both of them is that they would each fulfill God's purpose. I love thinking about this friendship because I see how they in time realized their purpose for their life and God prepared them for it. David being the shepherd boy, we've studied him. And then Jonathan, the son of King Saul, who quite frankly could have been the king. And we see from this passage, it was like God gave him a type of intuition and helped him realize his role. And so they helped each other fulfill their purpose. There was no jealousy there. There was no angst. They realized, oh, this is God's assignment for me. And oh, this is God's assignment for you. Let's come together, be a strong team, give each other grace, and help fulfill God's will for the other person's life. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 and 10 says, two people are better off than one, for they can each help each other succeed. If one falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. You know that crowns are mentioned in the New Testament? In other words, we're saved by grace through faith alone. It's not a matter of works. But as we abide in Christ and he abides in us and we grow in the fruit of the Spirit and we're involved in the Great Commission and the Great Commandment and we're maturing in our faith, the Bible speaks of crowns that we will be presented in heaven that will lay at the feet of Jesus. Not so much a golden medal type of crown, though in the New Testament they compare it to the Olympic Games. It's more of a wreath type crown that you lay at the feet of Jesus. And the Bible says there are at least five. And so, y'all, I started thinking about that. I thought, well, I wonder, because I don't know how that worked out with everybody, but I'm thinking with Jonathan and David, automatically I might think, well, man, David, he was a man after God's own heart. He's used to wearing a crown. He repented of his sin with Bathsheba. He wasn't perfect. There were consequences, but he ended strong and well. And then I thought about, and I'm sure there will be crowns, those five. I looked at the different ones. You can do that sometime, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. There's other passages. But then I looked at Jonathan, and I looked at his life. Such a servant heart. Such a, hey, it's not about me, it's about you. God has given me an intuition to know you're supposed to be the next king, David. How can I help you? We're going to see more of that in the next point. And it was all about, and I looked at those crowns and I'm thinking, man, I don't know which one of those he wouldn't, Jonathan, get. You know, we might be surprised when we get to heaven and the crowns are presented at the feet of Jesus, bringing glory to him. It might not be the person that's well known. It might not be the person that was your favorite deacon growing up in church or your favorite radio preacher or somebody in your family that made a great influence, though all that is wonderful, and it might be. But it might be that sweet person that was not about them, didn't draw attention to themselves. They just faithfully, consistently, regularly served the Lord because they loved him. So we think about friendships, and we think about the fact that close Christian friendships are united on matters that matter, on core values God bonds us, knits us together. And there's a sense of you just know who that person is over time. Secondly, close Christian friendships are unwavering in supporting their sidekick. We see that in verses 3-4. Now, I use that term sidekick because I want to make sure we understand. We're going to get to the biblical word of sidekick, but I want to use a practical term that most of us might be familiar with. Let me name some. Batman had Robin. Michael Jordan had Scottie Pittman. Lone Ranger had Tonto. Han Solo had Chewbacca. Andy had Barney. Pooh and Piglet, Maverick, Goose, Shrek and the Donkey, Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson, and, drum roll, David and Jonathan. Now, I'm not saying there aren't others in the Bible. I thought about that. I thought of Moses and Aaron, and I've thought about Paul and Timothy, and there's others. But when we think about godly, biblical friendships, whether it's man to man, girl to girl, lady to lady, whatever it might be, these are principles and things that remind us of what that is all about and why it is so important. We see in our text today, verses 3-4, that Jonathan had his divine intuition, as I mentioned, that David was to be the next king. What a guy to not think, man, I'm supposed to be the king. No, he automatically shifted the emphasis and the encouragement to his new friend David. He was to help him with the transition of becoming the king from King Saul, his dad. When he gave David his robe, his tunic, and his weapons, he was symbolically passing his kingship to David. That's what that means in the Old Testament. That's why it's listed in those verses 3-4. Besides this initial covenantal bond, there were two more pacts that they made after this to show their covenant, to protect each other, to be there for one another. One was David swore to show kindness to Jonathan's descendants for helping him escape his dad, King Saul. And y'all, we will look at that example on Easter as we continue this series and we land and consider Mephibosheth. I don't know if you've heard of Mephibosheth. Not only do I like to say that name, but I like to talk about him. Because you talk about a guy that represents as a foreshadowing of what Easter is all about. It is Mephibosheth. And that is an answer to this covenant, blessing the descendants because he was one. And then the other pact, with the second one, besides the original, was in 1 Samuel 23 when Saul sought to kill David in the wilderness. Jonathan went to him and encouraged David to stay strong in the Lord. And he reignited and reemphasized the original covenant that they had made. So a few reminders of support are this. They sacrifice for one another. We see that in verse 4. A true Christian, biblical friend, you almost don't think twice about it. You're willing to sacrifice for your friend. They were loyal to one another. 1 Samuel 19, Jonathan rebuked his father for wanting to kill David. That's his dad. That's the king of Israel. And he rebuked him. But why? Because it was obviously sin. It was wrong. It was murder. How could he? And so he confronted him about it. So they were loyal to one another. And thirdly, they were free to express their emotions to one another. 1 Samuel 20, they cried before their departure from one another. There's nothing wrong with that. That comes from a deep, emotional, biblical friendship and can be very sincere and real and not something somebody, however, works up. It's just natural because you've got that kind of love for each other, and that's what they had. Proverbs 18:24 says, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Who might that brother be? For you or for me? More than likely, You don't truly, really know until you go through some type of adversity. Either you or the other person. Here's what Proverbs 17:17 says. A true friend loves at all times. And a brother is born for adversity. Just like I'm going to list another one of those types of friends for me. You could do the same thing if you were up here, I'm sure. And these guys wouldn't mind. Turcott wouldn't mind. He's been before. Steve Jordan, the guy I'm about to mention now, wouldn't mind. He's been here before. These are guys that were both in my wedding. Steve is one. Turk was my best man in my wedding. Steve Jordan escorted my mom out after we said I do. They're real special to me. But I can tell you, just as other friends, we've had some adversity that we've walked through. Both of us have. And three things that I see in Jonathan and I think about my buddy Stephen, you be thinking about your friend, your buddy, your companion, your close friend. There's three things that I see in Jonathan. Lift them up when they're victorious. They lift you up when they're victorious. The number of times as an adult that Steve's done that, where God graciously did something in my life, he was one of the first ones that was quick to congratulate and say, man, even if it really wasn't that big of a deal. And that's what we do with close friends. We see something that they've done and God's done it in them. I mean, it's good. There shouldn't be any jealousy. We should encourage them and say, way to go, man. Look at you. They need that. We all need that. Listen to them when they're down. In other words, don't talk too much. There's a time to speak. There's time to be silent. That doesn't mean you might not say a few words, but I've noticed over the years that it comes out better for me and perhaps you, and I think the Bible would help us as we look at the taming of the tongue in James and Proverbs, that sometimes what people need, especially close friends that are walking through a difficult time, they just need us to listen. And don't talk too much. Sometimes when people are discouraged or depressed, it might be that we share a similar thing. Well, you know, I remember when I walked through this. Maybe, or maybe later on. But when they're in the midst of a real trial and they're really hurting, I truly believe the best thing to do is just listen. We don't have to tell them our story automatically. That may not be exactly what they need at the time. We don't have to dominate the conversation, say, well, I'll tell you this. No, the best thing to do most of the time when somebody's really hurt is just listen. And thirdly, because this is what Jonathan did. Let others know it when someone is trying to hinder God's will for your friend. That's when you do talk. You take up for them. You say, man, give them some grace. If you have to, if you must. Not in every situation. Some's not worth the time and the effort. But sometimes you say, hey, whoa, 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 whoa. You're talking about my buddy here. How do you know that to be true? Is that gossip? Are you giving them some grace? Are you helping them fulfill God's will? Are you hurting them? We shouldn't be scared of people and be willing to step up at different times and say, whoa, 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 whoa. You got that wrong. It's about pleasing God and being there for our friends. Take up for your true friend. Assume the best. The ultimate test is when you go through difficulty. John 15:13. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down his life for his friend. Ken Chafin wrote, apart from God's love and forgiveness, Jonathan's friendship with the most precious gift David was ever given. Because the gift was followed by faithfulness, unselfishness, and sacrifice. Some of you listening now know who your gift is. Don't ever take them for granted. And don't assume there may not be another one, no matter how old you are. I like this quote, too, on friendship. A true friend is not someone we have chosen for ourselves, but rather someone God has placed in our lives for a purpose. That's exactly what God did with Jonathan and David. And thank God, he's still doing it today. Now, before I close, it might be that as some of you are reflecting and thinking about Jonathan and David and the verses and the passages, you're trying to evaluate and think, have I been that kind of friend? Do I have that kind of friend? Who might there be? Let me just give you three or four things to think about before I close in prayer. Number one is this. To have this kind of friend, be sure you're a Christian. In order to have those close Christian friends, make sure that you have a relationship with Jesus. The Bible says, these things have I written that you might know you have eternal life. It is the greatest gift of all, is salvation. And only when we have that friendship with Jesus and a relationship with him and we have that abiding in him and we spend time with him will we truly know how to be a Christian friend or have them. Here's the second thing. Spend time alone maturing in your faith while adding this to your daily prayer list. If you feel like I don't have one of those, or I should surely try to have a few more, start praying about it as you're spending time alone with God in prayer and Bible study, and put it on and bring it to God every day. Dear God, give me this person. Dear God, give me this person. Number four, put yourself in a position to find these kinds of friends through your church. Now, that doesn't mean you may not go to some type of ecumenical Bible study or conference. No. That's all good. But here's what I want you to know. One of the best places to find and to be that kind of friend, but certainly to find that kind of friend, is when you plug into a church. There is no perfect church, but find one. Bible, believing, teaching, you feel like you connect with the doctrine, you feel like you can connect with a smaller group, that's where you really get connected, whether it's at 9 o'clock on Sunday morning or through a Bible study during the week with the ladies or the guys or whatever it might be, that's where you really bond and connect and you start finding out, oh, there's that gift. You probably not going to find those people if you go to a club. Now, my kids aren't here, so I can tell y'all a secret. And my parents are in heaven, so I'm gonna tell you something. Now you might be shocked that sometimes people at Mississippi College go clubbing. That's one of our Baptist schools. I know that disappoints you. But back in the day, there were a few times, I don't tell anybody this, that I did a little clubbing myself. Now, it's probably about a handful of times. And I'm thinking back, I'm thinking, why in the world did I go? By God's grace, I didn't drink. So it wasn't that. And I'm telling you, I couldn't dance. I mean, I felt like an idiot out there. But I tried to step up in there, you know. Hey, we're going to club. We're going to the Lamar. That was downtown. Some of you smiling. I know I probably danced by you. Or there was one out at the reservoir. Let me think. The dock. No, it was before the dock. Look, that preacher gave me that name. I know where he went back in the day, too. Anyway, ever since I think back, I think, man, I couldn't find that club. That's not where I found, you know. I was crazy. What in the world was I doing that? But I'm going to tell you. Let me tell you where I found my wife of 42 plus years. At church, in the youth group. Now, that may not happen for everybody. I know God works in mysterious ways and different ways. But I just want to remind you, as far as your close friends and maybe that potential spouse, if that's God's will for you, get plugged in somewhere that you feel like this is where I'm supposed to be for now. And then the fourth thing is accept the fact that there are risk involved, and time will tell if you find him or her or that special close Christian friend. Y'all, it's risky to love, but it's sure better than the other option. It's worth it. And if you think you have found that close friend, and sometimes you all of a sudden realize the scales come off, you realize, that's not it. It's okay. It doesn't mean there won't be another one. It doesn't mean that they may not be a certain friend. You just have a certain distance you keep, perhaps. But you shake the dust and you move on. Don't give up. Don't stop. God's got those people. And they are precious gifts to help us be our best version that God wants us to be, to accomplish his will for our lives. Dear God, we thank you for the example of Jonathan and David, David and Jonathan. We thank you for their biblical love for each other, their support for each other, the sacrifices they made, the courage they exemplified to take up for one another. And Lord, we pray, and I pray, you will help us be that kind of friend. We know there's a phrase that says, to have friends, you must be a friend. And there's a certain element of truth to that. But God, we also pray you'll bring those people in our life and we'll recognize them and consider them a precious gift. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand for our invitation. Our staff will be here to pray for you. The altar's open if God leads you to make a decision. Robert.